This is Mike Kegley. Today's date is April the 5th, 1973. The time is 2:30 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. William Defoe of the Defoe Shipbuilding Company. Some of the topics to be discussed are how Defoe started and how he pioneered Saginaw Valley, and some of the innovations that helped revolutionize the shipping industry. Some of the ships that helped make Defoe famous and what they are today, and some of the long-range plans of the company. And now, here's Mr. Defoe. And the first question that I have to ask is how and when they get their start in the Bay City here.
Actually, my father, Harry J. Defoe, along with an uncle, Fred Defoe, and another uncle, George Whitehouse, formed the Defoe Boat and Motor Works back in 1905. The original location of the first plant was in what is now Winona Park, and when the city decided to make that area into a park, the shipyard moved to the west bank of the Saginaw River, right at the west end of the New York Central Railroad Bridge. Then when we changed it to a steel shipbuilding yard in about 1914, we again moved the location of the plant to its present spot. My father, by the way, prior to the time that he started the shipyard, was a school teacher, and at the time that he resigned to enter boat building, he was the principal of the Park School in Bay City.
Otherwise, your father and your family is originally from this area.
Yes, that's right. Long-time residents of this area.
And they just decided to go in. This would be more or less along the reasons why. What were the reasons why? What made your father decide to go into shipbuilding and give up school teaching?
Actually, he'd always had an interest in boats from the time he was a child. And his father, my grandfather, had sailed on or run some of the fishing boats and boats of that type in the area. And my father had always been interested in it, and in fact, that was his hobby while he was teaching school.
I see. And could you tell me how Defoe helped pioneer the Saginaw Valley and what role they played in helping to pioneer what Bay City is today?
Well, the year that our company started in 1905 was the same year that the last remaining shipyard closed in Bay City, and they had built large ships. The original name of that company was Wheeler Shipyards. They were bought up by the American Shipbuilding Company, but the yard was closed in 1905. Now, of course, when my father started in, he started building small boats to begin with, and it was some years before we got into the large ship business. But of course, there would have been no shipbuilding, presumably no shipbuilding in Bay City if we had not started in 1905.
Am I understand then that by this time when your father had started the shipyard, that Davison had already quit building ships and Boutel and some of the others that were in the area?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you had no competition as far as shipbuilding in the area.
No local competition,
yeah.
Right.
Did Defoe's contribute any innovations that helped revolutionize the shipping industry here in Bay City? Or here in the world, I should say.
Yes, yes. I would say particularly during World War II, my father developed the idea to build large ships in an upside-down position and roll them over after they'd reached a certain point in construction. This we called our rollover method of building ships. And it was a very efficient way of building ships, and it reduced the man hours required to build a ship substantially, which in turn resulted in the government getting ships faster during the war and at a lower cost. It was a highly efficient system, which was never patented and has since been copied by a number of others in the industry. But it originated here.
Is there any other innovations that help revolutionize the industry, or is that just your major contribution?
That was one of the major ones. Of course, we've the earliest shipyards that worked with aluminum, We were using aluminum back in the 1930s. And also, in a way, we like to feel we had something to do with General Motors getting into the diesel engine field. And as you may be aware, they're by far the largest builders of diesel engines now in this country. That was a result of a yacht that we built for Charles Kettering, who was the vice president in charge of research for General Motors Corporation for years and years. A brilliant man, a genius. And we installed in his second yacht that we built for him a large diesel engine built by the then Winton Diesel Engine Company in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, he was so intrigued with the engine that he literally rebuilt it himself, got more new ideas about how a diesel engine should be built. The upshot of it was that General Motors bought the Winton Diesel Company, and from there have just grown to where they are by far the largest diesel engine builders in the United States. So we like to feel like we had a part in that rather massive business.
I can see where it helped revolutionize shipping as far as engines go.
Right, and in fact, of course, General Motors after that developed the engines that you'll see in so many of the trucks, the diesel engines that are used in trucks, all the way from truck engines up to very large diesel engines used in huge ships today, also in power plants and so on, and in your diesel locomotives for railroad use.
What are some of the ships that helped make the Fogel they are today? I know as a child, I've lived here all my life, and I've seen quite a few ships come from here, but I guess I can't remember back before my time, but when did you really start to get into big shipping?
Well, the start of the steel shipbuilding was World War I. Up until that time, we've been strictly wood boat builders. I got into the steelwork in World War I, originally with an order from the U.S. Army, oddly enough, for some steel mine planters. And from that point on, well, at the conclusion of World War I, not too long after that, we did start into the large pleasure yacht field. And I suppose, again, one of the famous yachts, and in fact the largest one that we built, was the second Olive Kay built for Charles Kettering of General Motors. And of course a number of the ships were built for men who were then known throughout the country. The Fisher Brothers, for example, we built yachts for the Fisher Brothers, Fisher Body Company. We built a yacht in 1931 that later on became very famous. We built it originally for Sewell Avery, Montgomery Ward, and it became, when Eisenhower became president, he took over this yacht as the presidential yacht, named it the Barbara Ann. And when John Kennedy was president, he changed the name to the Honey Fitz, and he used it very extensively. In fact, had it to back and forth up to Hyannisport and all the way down to Palm Beach, and a lot of entertainment and use the yacht.
Is this boat still afloat? Are they still using it?
The boat's still afloat, but it's no longer the presidential yacht. They sold it about a year and a half ago in one of the economy moves. So it was sold. But that was a wooden hull boat, quite speedy for its day. And of course, obviously lasted and was maintained in excellent shape. So think that it was built in 1931 and still used as a presidential yacht up until about 2 years ago.
It's amazing. How long was that boat?
So just what, 91 feet? 91 feet, I believe.
I've made some pleasure craft for some of the lumbering barons in the state here, or in the area. Not only lumbering barons, but other wealthy men did. If I recall, didn't you build a yacht for Morley Brothers?
No, not for Morley Brothers. About the only local client that I would recall offhand would be Mr. Charles Coriel, Sr., who passed away some 2 years ago. We did build for him. Most of the yacht customers were from, not from Bay City, a number of Detroiters in those years. but also people both on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Then otherwise that Defoe is, has got boats all over the continental United States or off the continental United States.
Right, beyond even beyond the continental United States, right.
As far as pleasure craft, I realize that the Navy is using quite a bit of Defoe-built ships.
Right.
What are some of these ships that that you've built for the government? And
well, we've built a wide variety of them, starting, as I mentioned, back about 1917, when we built both mine planters, and we built torpedo chasers back in those days. Then in later years, we built a number of vessels for the United States Coast Guard, both icebreakers and patrol craft. Of course, the Navy's been our largest customer, and the period of the World War II period was the busiest period by far in our history. And during the war years themselves, we built 166 ships for the United States Navy, a number of different types. The largest and most complicated were the, in those days, were the destroyer escorts. We also built a large fleet of patrol craft and anti-submarine vessel. Both of those ships were built with this upside-down method, rollover method of construction. We built minesweepers during World War II. We built infantry landing craft. We built a fleet of small freighters. So there was a big variety during World War II. And since that time, we built the first sizable all-plastic boat that the Navy ever had built. That was an experimental job. We were responsible for the design, for writing the specifications as to how to build it, and going ahead and building it. And that was a 57-foot-long, one-piece plastic hull job.
When was that built?
It was built in the early 50s, about 1951-2. Way back in history, shortly after my father got into the business, he also started what we always called a knockdown or kit type of boat, and where all of the pieces were cut or shaped to their proper shape. And then shipped out for the buyer to erect himself, put together himself. And back even in the early years, why, those were shipped all over the world, literally all over the world. And probably some of them still in use in different parts of the world.
When did this idea come about?
I would say probably started within 3 years after my father started the business.
Oh, that far back?
Yes, it dates way back. That, for as far as Defoe is concerned, we went out of that business when World War II required all of our facilities.
Is there anything for the future that might curtail making these boats again in kit form and or pleasure craft?
We have no plans to re-enter the kit boat type of operation again. No, grown away from that area of boat building. There's quite a difference between a boat building facility and a shipbuilding facility. You don't necessarily mesh together too well.
Yeah, I can see where it would be some problem switching back and forth.
Right.
Can you give us some insight on what some of the long-range plans of the company is as far as the future of the boats?
Well, for intermediate range at least, what we are looking for, and it seems to be occurring, is a revival of shipbuilding for new ships for use on the Great Lakes, in other words, the iron ore ships and so on. The majority of the fleet on the Great Lakes is old, and really old. There are a few new ships, but the majority of them are very old, they're inefficient, they don't meet modern pollution standards and all that sort of thing. They're high cost to operate. So we're looking forward with considerable anticipation getting into that field. Right at this moment, so far as Navy work is concerned, we don't see anything for some little time in the future that however, they are beginning or in the early stages of a new program that will be a very large program, provided Congress appropriates the funds. This is for a new class of the called frigates, or PFs, basically an anti-submarine vessel. And the plan is to eventually build at least 30 of these ships. We're very hopeful that we can get in on the construction of some of those. They will not all be awarded to one company. The job will be divided and given to at least two companies and probably three different companies. So we're looking forward to that, but the construction phase of that program is not scheduled to begin until 1975, so that is in the future.
I know with my naval experience that the United States is lagging in shipbuilding as far as the world power goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of your most recent ventures in building ships were the guided missile destroyers and the oceanographic vessels that you built here.
Right.
Could you shed some light on, I know the one that, the first one you built, oceanographic wise, had an engine in it that was never used or never built in the United States before.
I think you're thinking we built two ships, two oceanographic research ships that had very unusual propellers on them. Voith Schneider propellers. It's a German patented propeller. It has an entirely different appearance from any normal propeller, and it functions different than a normal ship's propeller does, in that it's a series of blades, more like propeller blades on an airplane, series of blades sticking down, straight down from the bottom of the ship, and those blades spin in a circle, and they continue to rotate the blades as they spin in this circle, and it gives absolute control of the ship. The ship has no rudder. It can steer with these propellers as well as to propel the ship, and those two ships had two of these propellers, one at the bow and one at the stern. And they were able to move the ship in any direction that they wanted to, straight sideways, or turn it around without its moving at all. But the basic reason for it was that they were going to be doing deep ocean survey work, and that they could reach a position over a certain spot on the bottom of the ocean and stay right there in that exact position by maneuvering these engines and these propellers. It's necessary at times for them to stay right in one exact spot. That was the basic reason for that propulsion system. It's the first time ever that the system of that type has been used at sea. They have used these propellers before, but not the dual propellers, and not for that purpose.
Otherwise, as far as Defoe goes, and you might as well say, as far as that type of steering and propulsion, you were the first in the United States to use it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Being a Navy man, I have been acquainted with some sailors that have sailed on some of your ships, as far as the Navy goes. I believe one of the guided missile destroyers he sailed on, this one gentleman, was the USS Hull.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he had some quite a lot of favorable comments on the construction of the ship itself,
mm-hmm.
and the comfort the crew had.
Right, the newer Navy ships, they've provided much more comfort than used to be available.
Now, is that standard throughout the industry, or is this something that Defoe itself has designed into the ship?
Now, actually, that part of it, the crew comfort, the term that Navy uses is habitability. It now is a part of Navy specifications, and in fact, the plans for those particular destroyers were drawn by an outside firm. The Navy gave a contract to an outside firm of naval architects. So they drew the plans, and we built the ships in accordance with the plans. We do like to brag that the quality of our workmanship is extremely high, and that when we compare our ships with others built by some of our competitors, we feel that we're number one in quality of the ships. And we've received a lot of outside compliments for the work.
After World War II, when the Navy shipping stopped, what projects did Defoe take on?
one of the first projects was our re-entry into the private yacht building business. My father developed a design for a very streamlined 118-foot long yacht. We advertised these in the yachting publication and soon had orders and started building and eventually built six of these yachts. They were bought by owners spread throughout the United States and also one gentleman from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. We sent two of our people along on the delivery trip of that vessel to Brazil. It was a most interesting trip. The rest of the crew was made up of Brazilians that the owner had brought to Bay City. These were luxury yachts. Most of them are still in service. As of today, the one that may be the best known is owned by Sir Ralph Evinrude, the Evinrude outboard motor man. He keeps it in Florida in the winter and usually brings it into the Great Lakes each summer. They're still very up-to-date and have a modern appearance, even though they were built, it's almost 25 years ago now.
Is there any plans that that these boats might come back home to the ones that are still in the United States? Would there be any plans for these boats to come back home to be refitted here at the yard?
Mr. Evinrude has had his his yacht in here just once. Most of the others are so far away that it's just almost too expensive a trip to bring them back to Bay City. The original owners, unfortunately, most of them have passed away since we built the yachts, so most of them are owned now by second owners. We did have a large yacht back in our yard. This, however, was some few years ago. Sure don't have the information on it. Back in 1930, we built a 142-foot long yacht that was then named the Janador. It was built for Mr. Zellerbach, who is one of the leading lumber barons on the West Coast at that time. And she came back in our yard about 1962. We did some minor work on it, but we were very pleased to see that all of the original hand-worked woodwork throughout the ship was still in its original state and still beautifully finished. And all of that work in those days was done by highly skilled craftsmen and everything done by hand. That's rather hard to find in these days, of course.
That speaking of lumber barons and stuff, when you first started building ships, or when your father first started building ships in the area, did he use lumber from the area here, from the lumbering era, or was this wood have to be brought in from various parts of the country and world?
Well, unfortunately, most of it had to be brought in from outside because our Michigan pine is not the best wood for shipbuilding or boat building. A lot of oak was used, however, but mahogany has always been one of the prime woods in yacht building, so of course that had to be brought in from outside.
I see. Is there anybody else that you know that could possibly help Saginaw Valley College with their study of the Saginaw Valley as far as shipping, or even if you should happen to have acquaintances that could shed light on the lumbering era or possibly the coal mining era?
Well, as far as the shipping, there is a woman here. She lives in Essexville. who's very interested in the subject, has done a lot of research, has a lot of records and so on. She is self-taught now, is very knowledgeable in that whole area. Maybe the best authority in the area, Mrs. Paul Baker. Coal mining, the first name that would come to my mind would be Mr. Charles Coryell, who is a Monitor Sugar and so on. Their company used to have coal mines in this area. They have not operated, of course, for a number of years, but their company did operate coal mines in the area. Yeah, he's still alive. He's the recently retired, for example, chairman of the board of the People's National Bank in Bay City. His father before him, I mentioned before, we built a yacht for him. So the Coryell family dates way back in Bay City. He would probably have a pretty good knowledge of the coal mining industry here. Lumbering as such.
Most of the people that were in that era are gone.
You're right, that generation is gone, that's for sure.
There's very few left.
Yeah. Really don't know what would be the best lead there. There's still some second-generation members of the Foss family alive. They were in the lumbering business. In fact, they had them right on this site where our shipyard is built.
That was here before? The
it was here before we came in with the shipyard. But
well, I think if there's nothing else you'd like to add to this, that we can conclude.
I don't think of anything more in particular. It's been a very interesting business because it is a varied business, of course. Things seem to change every day. Methods of construction, types of ships, and the types of customers that we have. We deal with a wide variety, of course, of customers. We are now the only shipyard left in the state of Michigan, not just Bay City. We're the only ones in the state of Michigan.
You're the only one left?
Right.
How many are still side launching? I noticed that you still use the side launch
right.
method.
Most everybody on the Great Lakes has always used the side launching method, as compared to the most shipyards on the east and west coasts launch endwise. They slide them in with the stern of the ship going in first. There are a couple of reasons for it. Number one, with our location, for example, the Saginaw River is not too wide. And if we were to end launch, it takes a long time to stop the ship from moving, and it would literally ground itself on the bank across the river if it was a large enough ship. So that's one consideration. Then there are advantages to building them the way that we do, because we build the ship on a level. Those yards where they end launch, the ship must necessarily be built on an angle, built on a building berth that's on an angle. So that every time a workman goes to erect, say, a vertical bulkhead, he has to take into consideration that actually the bulkhead has to lean so that when the ship's afloat, finally, that it will be vertical. Well, we start right from the beginning building the ship in exactly the level that it will float. And so we put up a vertical bulkhead, we just put it straight up, no problem.
You don't use the method anymore of upside-down building? The ships are too big for this?
No, the only reason that we haven't used it recently is that you have to have an order for a large number of identical ships to be able to write off the initial cost of the rollover equipment that's required, the jigs, the patterns, the forms that are needed to build the ships bottom-side up. Of course, during World War II, we received orders for large numbers of identical ships, and that's why we were able to use it so successfully then. Depending on the size and type of ship, we estimate now that if we had, on the average, six or seven identical ships,